Welcome to Intuitive Transformations with your host, Sylvia Henderson, and discover tools, wisdom, and inspiration that will empower you to transform your life. Sylvia is an intuitive life coach and energy healer with a growing practice that is focused on empowering others to be more of who they want to be. For the next hour, join Sylvia and explore and unravel anything in the way of you creating the life that you would love to live on the Om Times Radio Network.
Well, hello and welcome to the Intuitive Transformations Radio Show, where you will find tools you can use to change and transform your life every Wednesday afternoon at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Om Times Radio Network, the voice of consciousness at omtimes.com. This is Sylvia Henderson, your host, and if you would like to learn more about me and the work that I do, please visit my website at intuitivetransformations.net. And while you're there, sign up for my monthly newsletter and receive a free guided meditation called Healing Fear During Uncertain Times. Again, to learn more about me and to receive a free guided meditation, just visit my website, intuitivetransformations.net. Today is March 14, 2018, and today Earth is set to experience, if you haven't already heard about it, a rather large solar storm. So what is a solar storm? Well, according to NASA, a solar storm is basically a variety of eruptions of particles and energy from the surface of the sun. Sometimes these particles make it all the way to Earth and beyond by flowing along the sun's magnetic field into interplanetary space. Well, when the material collides with the Earth's magnetic field and trapped radiation belts, it can dump some particles into our upper atmosphere called the aurora. The same charged particles can produce their own magnetic fields, which can modify the Earth's magnetic field and affect compass readings. This is all from the NASA website, because I don't want you to think this is completely woo-woo. This doesn't cause physical harm to Earth, but it can disrupt technology in its path, like satellite transmissions and TV and radio signals. Solar storms also disrupt the electromagnetic field of the planet. And given that each one of us also has an electromagnetic field around our bodies, it can also affect us. So I just want to share a few things very briefly before we jump into the show that you may have noticed over the last few days, or may notice today or during the rest of the week even, that may be attributed to this very active solar energy from the sun. And please know that I'm only sharing these symptoms with you so that you're aware that whatever you're experiencing, especially on an emotional level, is probably a lot more normal than you would think it is. I just want you to know that you're not going crazy. It's just this surge of energy that's hitting the planet, and it should calm down in a few days. I know yesterday I was on an emotional roller coaster and I was confused. I didn't know what was going on. I just knew I had all this grief and lots of tears going. And so for those of you who are sensitive to energy like me, you may feel like you've been knocked off your feet a little bit. So here are some of the symptoms that you might experience from a solar storm. Some nervousness, anxiety, worry. More worry than normal, I should say, jittery, maybe feeling shaky or irritable. You might even experience some old grief or intense anger come up. You might feel very lethargic and tired and exhausted, or you might feel hyper and unable to sleep at night. You might also experience an increase in forgetfulness, and you may feel ungrounded and unable to remain focused. So if you're experiencing any of those symptoms, please know that they will soon pass. And in the meantime, the best thing for you to do is to take care of yourself. Be gentle and kind with yourself and with those around you, because everyone is on the same planet. So we're all going through this together. Just keep in mind that everyone's going to respond differently. And if you have any emotional release tools like tapping, EFT, I suggest you use them. You'll find that you'll move through this very quickly if you do. And also, if you're tired, get rest. Take care of yourself. Drink lots of water. By the end of the week, as I said, things should settle back down and you'll start to feel more like yourself again. So I find it interesting that what is going on in the world usually transitions into the topic for my shows. Because today, we're going to talk about light, something that the sun gifts us with every day. We're going to talk about light a little differently than you've probably ever thought of light before. I have joining me today Dr. Jacob Lieberman, and we're going to discuss the science of light and how light can literally unlock the art of living within you. Dr. Jacob Lieberman was born in Cuba to Russian parents and immigrated to the United States as a child in 1955. English was his third language, posing a series of learning difficulties for him as a young man. While attending optometry school, he was introduced to vision training and quickly overcame these challenges, earning a doctorate in optometry, a PhD in vision science, and later an honorary doctorate of science. After opening a successful practice in Miami, he began experimenting with natural vision improvement. In 1976, the miraculous healing of his own eyesight led him to realize that we do not see with our eyes alone. Having helped countless individuals recover their eyesight, Dr. Lieberman began to understand the words of Jonathan Swift. Real vision is the ability to see the invisible. To understand what it truly means to see, we must look deeper than the physical mechanisms of the eye to the underlying source of our seeing, the who or what behind the eye of our vision and the breath of our inspiration. An internationally respected speaker and pioneer in the fields of light, vision, and consciousness, Dr. Lieberman is the author of Light, Medicine of the Future, Take Off Your Glasses and See, and Wisdom from an Empty Mind. In his latest book, written with his daughter Gina and his son Eric, Luminous Life, shares Dr. Lieberman's scientific and spiritual discoveries about light as the divine spark that guides our life's journey, entwining us with the unseen architect of all that is. Dr. Lieberman, welcome to the show.
That was a wonderful introduction, different from any one that I have heard before, and I really, really appreciate the depth that you went into there. Less focus on education and more focus on one's life journey. So Thank you for that. And it's nice to be here with you today.
Well, you're so very welcome, and thank you for joining us. I know it's a little early in the morning for you because you're joining us from one of the beautiful islands of Hawaii. So before we talk about your newest book, Luminous Life, would you mind sharing your story about how you were able to improve your vision while meditating? And how did that experience cause you to look at vision differently, from a medical point of view as well as from a spiritual perspective?
Well, the first thing that I want to share is dealing with the last statement you made. From a medical point of view as well as a spiritual perspective, these two things are actually not different. They're both expressions of the same thing. There are aspects of life that are visible, and there are aspects of life that are invisible. As our life distills and our awareness expands, the invisible begins becoming more visible. You could say we awaken to a new reality. This is no different than a tree. A tree is made up of what you see above the ground, and then there's something about three times the size of the tree underneath the ground. The part that you do not see is responsible for the tree's nourishment. It's responsible for the tree's stability. its growth, and so on. Most of what's going on is not visible, not only for the tree and for an iceberg, but in our life. So the key to having a luminous life is uncovering these bits that have been invisible to us until we have an epiphany, a sound bite from heaven, if you will, something that grabs us in a way we haven't been grabbed before, and the something is so potent that the awareness itself becomes curative. So now let's go to your question about the healing of my vision. You mentioned that I had had problems in school. I was a non-reader. Most of the time I was in school, I could read, but reading was not of much interest to me. And most of the time when I attempted it, I fell asleep. And so that caused me a lot of problems in school and even in my medical training in the first parts of it until I had the experience with some vision training. And I learned something about my eyes, and that gave me the ability to read comfortably. And that shifted my life from an average student to a Dean's List student in a matter of 6 weeks, and it remained that way. But the incident you're speaking about occurred in 1976 after I had been wearing glasses for 9 years and could not really see without them. I didn't like wearing my glasses because they did allow me to see clearer, but they didn't feel very good. You know, I imagine our listeners who wear glasses, which is probably most of them, noticed that when they first got them, they went to their doctor and they said, you know, I see clearly, but things don't feel quite right. The floor looks a little bit tilted. And they all say the same thing. Don't worry, you'll get used to it. And so we're told to get used to something that we know is actually not quite right for us. And so I never liked wearing my glasses because aside from making things clearer, they made things distorted. They limited my field of vision. So I tried not to wear them, but really couldn't see without them. So in order to drive a car, I had to use my glasses. In order to examine my patients, I needed to use my glasses. I got introduced to meditation in 1971. And at that time, my meditative practice was essentially sitting about 20 minutes a day. That seemed to be the time that everyone recommended. And meditation was a very wonderful experience, very relaxing and so on. And then one day in 1976, I had this very, very profound thing that occurred at some point during my meditation. It seemed as though all sense of self disappeared. How can I explain that? You know, normally when we're attending to something, we know that we are looking at something else, whether we are looking with the eyes open or we are focusing on our breath or anything else. There's a duality. There's a viewer and that which is being observed, the observer and the observed. During this experience, and I don't know how this occurred, but the observer, what we call the mind, disappeared. And all that was left was pure clarity. When I say pure clarity, even though my eyes were closed, everything in the room was visible to me. And not only was it visible, but it had a shimmering quality, almost as though it was alive rather than just a picture that was being viewed. The other aspect of this phenomenal event that occurred is that whatever was observing, it seemed like it could see from everywhere at the same time. And I don't know how to explain that in any other words than that. But when I came out of that meditation, my eyesight was crystal clear, which was very unusual because as an eye doctor, I often examine myself, and without my glasses, I basically could see the large E at the top of the eye chart. And now everything was crystal clear. So I drove to my office to determine what happened. And in fact, I was able to read a line that was 300% better. My eyesight had improved by 300%. But when I examined my eyes to see what changes had occurred in the prescription, there were no changes at all. So let me repeat that, because that's going to be difficult for people to understand, because we have been all indoctrinated to believe that the part within us that sees are the eyes. So my eyesight improved by 300% measurably, but my eyes didn't change at all. And what it allowed me to realize is that whatever is seeing is much more than just the eyes, that there is a possibility of seeing clearly without your eyes altogether, probably in the same way that you see when you have an insight or a clairvoyant instance. It's not an optical seeing. There's something else that occurs. Well, what I discovered 42 years ago in 1976 is whatever is seeing within us is much more than the physical eye. Now, to give you the impact of that instantaneous event, which occurred through total grace, there was no effort, there was no trying, there was no intending anything. It literally occurred free of charge. And that change has remained for 42 years. I'm 70 years old now. I have never worn a pair of glasses since that day, either for distance or for reading. And you will not find many 70-year-olds or even 60-year-olds that can read without glasses. So I think the main point that I would like to share with you is that on a medical basis, it allowed me to realize that what's going on is far more than our ideas, theories, or concepts about what's going on. In other words, the truth is actually different than the belief. So that was the first thing. And my sense was that what I experienced may have been a visual representation of what we call a spontaneous remission, which we don't understand exactly how that occurs. But over the last 42 years, I've begun to get a clearer and clearer sense of how that actually occurs in our life.
Wow. Dr. Lieberman, I'm going to have you hold that thought. When we return, we'll discuss more about your work with light and your book, The Luminous Life, and how we can achieve that. We'll be back in just a few moments. Everyone, please stay tuned for more.
The future of internet radio is here. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I was sensitive to lights and sounds, so I built secret hiding places where they couldn't get in. Sometimes I did the same things over and over, until one day I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to the Intuitive Transformations Radio Show on OhmTimes.com. This is Sylvia Henderson, and I have with me today my guest, Dr. Jacob Lieberman, author of Luminous Life. And he really is an expert in the field of light therapy. And before we went to the break, he shared his story about how his eyesight spontaneously became 20/20, basically. He had a 300% improvement in his vision during a beautiful meditation experience where he achieved pure clarity with his eyes closed and was able to see everything in the room around him, even though his physical eyes were occluded. And so, Dr. Lieberman, let's talk about light, you know, and why this is so important, and why your message in your book is so vital. I know that you write about how plants and animals rely on light to guide them, and that light plays a major role as an inherent navigational system for plants and animals. And so, do human beings have the same navigational system? I already think I know the answer to that. And how can we access our light-driven navigational system to improve our lives?
Plants, animals, and humans all have the same mechanisms that are literally guided by light. So to give you an example, before the show began, you started speaking about solar storms, and you said, oh, it may cause you to feel more emotional, and you mentioned a bunch of different things that could arise because of the solar storms. Do you think that animals experience those same things?
Yeah, absolutely, I do.
Well, you see, my sense is that the animals don't actually experience that.
Oh.
Because the animals that live in the wild are continually, their whole system is continually adjusting to the changes in the atmosphere. So when these solar storms or changes in weather or changes of seasons occur, the animal isn't all of a sudden shocked and says, oh my God, my life is coming apart today, or I forgot to get my overcoat at Target. What is actually going on in terms of light, which we need to really examine very, very carefully, is that every cell in the body has eyes. I mean, all the trillions of cells that we have eyes. The eyes on these cells are designed to detect and respond to light and changes in light. Now, if you go back to the Bible speaks about a creative force that it calls God, and then it says God is light, and then it describes this God or this light as being all-powerful, all-knowing, and everywhere at the same time. All spiritual texts speak of consciousness as light, and all physicists, if you ask them, what is the ground of reality, what is the fundamental energy from where life emerges, that infinite field of potentiality, they'll say, oh, that's the energy of light. We think we see light when we look outside, but what we are experiencing is brightness. Light is actually totally invisible. We do not actually see it, but something within ourselves is so sensitive that it responds even to the subtlest changes in light. So what's going on every single day is that light is upgrading the software of our humanity. Why is it doing that? When you go to your computer, every few weeks, you get something on your desktop that says you have a software update. You download it, and now your computer is working at its maximum potential with the latest technology that we have. The body is continually being upgraded by changes in the environmental light. The days get shorter or longer, or the spectral characteristics of the light changes. All these subtle changes, which cannot be seen, literally trigger all of our cells to orchestrate their internal function and then synchronize themselves with Mother Nature. In other words, the primary purpose of light is to continually guide us toward a sense of oneness or harmony with Mother Nature, with the cosmos itself. So light is very profound. It's not just about that it impacts the development and journey and growth of a plant. It's continually guiding us in terms of our physiological function, so we stay in health and wellness in relation to the changes that are occurring outdoors. Visually, we know the expression, it caught my eye. The it that catches our eye is the light that is literally looking for us in order to guide us so that we can fulfill our purpose for being. Now, that may sound a little way out, but let me give you a very substantive example. An apple tree's growth and development is totally guided by light. It literally guides its growth and which way it grows, but every aspect of its growth and development is nurtured and nourished by light. Light is actually a nutrient, the most potent nutrient in the universe. So why does the light guide the apple tree? To create apples, obviously. Because its nature is to bring forth, that's its purpose, to create apples. Humans, like trees, are all different. Each of us have a different purpose. What is our purpose? Usually what teachers used to describe as the things that we know by heart. Not the things that we know by mind, but those aspects of our nature that just are continually on. They're not things we have to practice. They're just second nature to us. Whether it is that we are a good communicator or an artist or a physician or an athlete, they often say, oh, he or she is a natural athlete. That's exactly what I'm speaking about. So on a very practical level, we are so busy trying to force life to do what we want that we don't recognize that life is actually looking for us, guiding us, and illuminating our journey so that we can have a life filled with contentment. That doesn't mean that at times we're not going to feel well and so on, or we're not going to have grief because we've lost a loved one. That's part of the life process as well. But most of the time, people want something on the outside to occur so that the inside can feel better. That's called addiction. We want something out there to make me feel better. Contentment is something very, very different. Contentment comes because our system is continually dancing a harmonious dance with Mother Nature, with life itself. And so for us, it's important to begin to recognize when we are allowing life to guide us and when we are trying to force life to move in the way that we want it. Because a lot of the discussion these days is about creating your own reality, making appropriate choices, and so on. But there is something that triggers us to move in a certain direction. It's called inspiration. The inspiration does not originate from within us. The inspiration comes to us free of charge from the intelligence of the universe, guiding us to fulfill that purpose. That inspiration, animation that breathes not only life into us because we don't breathe on our own, but breathes a sense of purpose. When the conscious mind becomes aware of that, that inspiration is then coupled with implementation. But without the inspiration that comes to us rather than from us, we end up feeling desperate. We end up with desperation. So what I've learned about light at its most fundamental level is that it's here to guide us. It's here to illuminate our journey. It's here to bring us to the place that feels the most rewarding, that nourishes us, that fills us up with joy and contentment. And in so doing, our health and our wellness go right along with it.
So how can we as human beings, you've already pointed out that animals and plants react differently. They don't have the emotional upheavals that we do. And I guess what I meant when you asked that question
animals
get agitated, go ahead.
They do have emotions. Plants and animals do have feelings and emotion. A plant knows the difference between a drop of water falling on its leaf and a caterpillar about to eat it, and it responds totally differently. All creatures respond with hesitation when they're entering a terrain that they have never been in. So that is true for all creatures that are living. The point I was attempting to make is that these changes in the atmosphere, like solar storms, don't take the plant and animal kingdom by surprise, because a solar storm doesn't just happen this Friday. There's something that is gradually building up to that event, in the same way as it's not warm one day and all of a sudden it's icy cold and snowing. It's a very gradual transition. Our bodies are continually transitioning with these environmental changes. In other words, animals and plants reside in a state of congruence and coherence with Mother Nature. Another word for congruence and coherence is presence. So there's something profound, and when we allow that same guidance, what's catching our eye, to guide us, what we sense. You see, what we call precognition, psychic, insight, instinct. Oh, I got a belly brain feeling. A light went on in my head. All of those expressions mean the same thing. We are sensing something that is invisible, and what we are sensing is the guidance from light. It is that light. We know, for instance, I mentioned to you that all the cells in the body have eyes that are designed to detect and respond to light. What I didn't mention is, for instance, the cells in the eyes can detect to a single photon of light. A photon is a non-thing. It's formless. It's just the field of potentiality. What I'm saying is our physiology is continually responding to the formless before it is rendered into form. So it's not hindsight that's 2020. It's actually foresight that's 2020. And the changes that our people are looking for in their life is really an enhancement in our ability to notice what is knocking on our door and guiding us.
So it really is what you were saying, what catches our eye is there to guide us.
Well, you know, I'll give you a beautiful example. Ralph Waldo Emerson said something very beautiful in a book called The Gospel of Emerson. And this is what he said. He said, there is a principle which is the basis of things. In other words, there's something fundamental which is the basis of everything. And then he goes on. It's a simple, quiet, undescribed, undescribable presence dwelling very peacefully in us. We are not to do, but to let do. We are not to work, but to be worked upon. We should take a moment to speak about that presence that dwells peacefully within us, because it is that presence that grace brought to me that day in 1976. That quiet presence that does nothing, it just notices, and that presence is what initiated this huge shift in my life. So consider the possibility, and maybe we'll complete this with this particular statement. All of us are aware of what's happening in that place we call our mind. We know when thinking is going on. We know when worrying is going on. We know when we are triggered about something. How do we know that? The reason we know that is because our true essence is observing this internalized television set in surround sound. Something is actually observing it. That which is observing it, from my experience, has no voice and has no preferences. It is that undescribed, undescribable presence that dwells very peacefully within us. As we become aware of that realization, that there's no way to see these things without that, then our life changes instantaneously.
That is very poignant and very important for folks to really latch onto and grab hold of. It is really about that presence, that aspect of us that transcends our thinking, that observes it, actually. Yes. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Dr. Jacob Lieberman on the Intuitive Transformations Radio.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
Hey, let me ask you something. Would you seat your 3-year-old child on a windowsill? Would you seat them beside a lit fireplace or by the deep end of a pool? One last question. Would you seat your child in a car seat that's not correct for them? Car crashes are a leading killer of children ages 1 to 13. Secure their future. Seat them in the correct car seat. For more information, visit safercar.gov/the right seat. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Intuitive Transformations Radio Show on OhmTimes.com. This is Sylvia Henderson, your host, and today I have with me Dr. Jacob Israel Lieberman, author of Luminous Life, his most recent book. And Dr. Lieberman, before we continue, would you mind sharing with those who are listening how they can learn more about you?
Sure. They can visit my website, which is jacoblieberman.org, O-R-G, and Lieberman is spelled L-I-B as in boy, E-R-M-A-N, or follow me on Facebook, so they can go to the site and gain a tremendous amount of insights about the work that I've been involved in for 45 years. It will share the books that I have written and, you know, take them to Amazon or Barnes & Noble, wherever they buy their books. And most of all, it'll be pleasing for their eyes. It's not a site that is designed for marketing. It's a site that was designed to share beauty and to share wisdom in whatever way it could. So that's where people can get more information about me and the new book, Luminous Life. I wanted to take this conversation a little bit further about this undescribable place that we spoke about.
Please do.
Some very, very wise individuals have spoken about this place. I live in Maui, Hawaii. In Maui, an expression you hear very often is no ka oi. No ka oi means nothing like it. Now, you could say nothing like it could mean the beauty of Maui. But what nothing like it is referring to is nothing like the spirit of aloha. And the spirit of aloha is a spirit that is created from the qualities of love, peace, and compassion. It's essentially describing the essence of our humanity, our naturalness, which is love, peace, and compassion. To go back even further, in the Gospel of Thomas, Jesus is quoted as saying, when you see up as down and down as up, when you see the outside and the inside the same, when you see a man as a woman and a woman as a man, then you will enter the kingdom. The kingdom that Jesus is speaking of is exactly what Emerson was speaking of. The kingdom is that undescribable presence that dwells peacefully within us. The great Zen patriarch, Sengsten, wrote a magnificent piece over 1,400 years ago called the Sin Sin Ming. I'd like to read you just a little part or share with you a little part of the first verse of it. It says, the great way is not difficult for those who have no preferences. When love and hate are both absent, everything becomes clear and undisguised. Make the smallest distinction, however, and heaven and earth are set infinitely apart. If you wish to see the truth, then hold no opinions for or against anything. So Sengsten is speaking about seeing from no point of view. Jesus is speaking about seeing from a place of unconditional acceptance. Emerson is talking about the same place that sees, but it has no point of view. That place that is what notices the physical sensations and the mental activity that we think is our thinking. We believe that if we work with the conscious mind, we can change our lives. But there's a lot of neuroscience, very impressive scientific evidence, that shows very clearly that well before we make a choice about anything, our brain is already moving in the direction we need to move. Mm-hmm. And so then there's a question, are we making the choice, or is the choice making us from the intelligence of life? Now, I'm not meaning to say that this originates in the brain. What I'm suggesting is that this field of infinite potentiality, this animating force in the universe, the intelligence of life, is guiding our journey and sends that to the mechanism that records it, our brain. and our brain begins to enact it, we become aware of it well after it's on its way to occurring. So to give you an example, I mentioned the apple tree before, that its purpose for being was to be an apple. Now, if the apple tree was human, it would be under the impression that if it took a trip to India, sat at the foot of a guru for years, did affirmations, learned the secret, and did all of these different things, that it might be able to create bananas. But I don't think an apple tree could ever create bananas, because it's designed as an integral part of the engine of life to bring forth apples. And we need to tune in and notice what we love, what we are in love with, what brings us joy and contentment, because that is what we're here to bless the world with. And it's not so much about changing our life. It's about noticing what is already there. As an eye doctor, I realized years ago when we look for one thing, we miss everything we're not looking for. And the things that occur in our life when we're not looking for them are the surprises, the miracles that we say, oh my God, how did that occur? So these, this guidance I'm speaking about is not something that occurs once in a blue moon. It's literally guiding every step of our life. Again, let me give you a very substantial example. The primary purpose of vision is to guide movement. Whether we're walking, running, swimming, driving a car, every step we take, every movement we make, when do we turn the steering wheel, when we step on the gas or on the brakes, and to what degree, all of that is guided by the visual knowing of where is it, what is it, how fast is it moving, where is it in relation to me, and how do I respond in relation to it. That's all occurring at light speed. So what I'm saying is, what's catching our eye is what's guiding our life. And if we can just notice that on a practical level, everything can change. As an example, most of us notice there are dishes in the sink, and the mind says, eh, I'll do it later, it's not important. They get a bill, and they'll say, eh, I got 30 days to pay for it. The bed is messy, I'll make the bed later. But the timing of things in the universe is precise. There would be total havoc if the beating of our heart gets out of beat. There would be total havoc if the sun came up late or set early. So when things occur in life, they're not occurring by chance. They are being animated by the intelligence within the whole universe that is animating everything as a whole. So when something grabs our awareness, that is the moment. There's nothing to think about, nothing to consider, nothing to choose. When it grabs our attention, it literally moves us. Even the movement is effortless. When the eye moves towards the light that catches it, there's no effort. It's a reflex. It just moves by itself. And just as my vision shifted instantaneously 42 years ago, it occurred effortlessly. This is the way everything occurs in this universe. According to the law of parsimony, the law of least effort, it does not take effort for these things to actually occur. In fact, so much of our conversations these days are about making things happen. But if you look at the physiology of the body, there is no aspect of our physiology that is designed to initiate action. It's all designed to respond to something. What is it responding to? It's responding to the animating force that is moving us in the direction we need to move in order to fulfill our reason for being and to have and live a luminous life.
This is so powerful what you've just shared, because as you were speaking, I could think of many, many times when opportunities have come my way or thoughts have come up and they have opened an invitation for me to create some inspired action, and I have put it aside because, oh, I have to do this first. I would override that system. And as you were speaking, it just reminded me of how many times I've overridden that. And so for those of you who are listening, we don't even realize how many times that internal GPS system that Dr. Lieberman is speaking of, that inner presence, is trying to communicate with us, and we override it with our own conscious awareness of what we believe we should be doing in order with this, because we have this myopic view of what we think we want and how we think we should get there, instead of allowing the universe to just so sweetly and gently guide us. I really appreciate you sharing that.
You know, this is such a critical, critical piece. First of all, it's important we recognize that this guidance is actually not a thought in the traditional sense of a thought that we are having. Because when we say, I think it's going to rain, what we're actually saying is, I don't know. So thinking is not knowing. The guidance I'm speaking about is so powerful that there's an absolute knowing about it. There's not a knower. It just comes in as something factual. Now let's talk about beliefs and so on. That's a very common word we hear today. Oh, you have to change your beliefs, or that's your belief system. If our listeners go to a thesaurus and put the word belief in there, we'll notice that the words that mean the same as belief are idea, thought, concept, theory, and so on. If you then look at the words that mean the opposite, the antonyms of belief, one of the words that stands out is truth. The same truth that Jesus spoke about when he said, "The truth shall set you free." In other words, our beliefs are not truth. They're just ideas. And we stake our whole lives on our ideas. And the whole field of mind-body medicine is based on the discovery that every state of mind, every belief, is reflected as a state of biology. Something totally different occurs when there's no point of view, when that which is observing is just observing purely. And what occurs then is our ideas and beliefs do not push our biology one way or the other. They keep it in the middle, that place of balance, that place of homeodynamic movement where everything is just flowing freely. So these things we are discussing are absolutely crucial to our health and our wellness in the body, in the mind, and it really allows us to grasp the fact that our spiritual life is not something that is metaphysical or somewhere else or on the other side. It's living well right here. In essence, we are that set of infinite eyes that sees with no point of view. That observer, within us, knows everything and is everywhere at the same time, in the same way as we describe God. That's our little piece of godliness. Mm-hmm.
Well,
so the book for me was about just sharing these revelations with people, because I felt that words can have medicinal value if they come from a place of direct experience. And then there's a lot of little practical pieces in the book that people can do that can really remind them of everything we've been speaking about, but not as an exercise, as a one-minute revelation that allows them to see things in a way they have never seen it before.
Wow. You know, I have to tell you that one of my favorite chapters in your book was the one that was written about awareness is curative. And in it, you wrote, by seeing from a place of no point of view, the mental pain that keeps our pain intact often dissolves. And that's so true. It's that mental pain that is based upon these ideas of what should or should not be happening that creates
right.
the pain within us. So that's just beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what my life is about right now.
Well, it's a beautiful, beautiful work that you've provided, Dr. Lieberman. Thank you so much for being on the show today and for sharing from your wealth of wisdom. Just to remind everyone, the book is called Luminous Life, How the Science of Light Unlocks the Art of Living. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Enjoy the rest of your day and the rest of your week, and know that you are loved, lovable, and able to be loved. Take care. Bye-bye for now.